This is your guys's family that you're building. It's your life. It's your relationship. You know, doctors have opinions and expertise in the different areas that they work in, but ultimately these decisions are up to you. Welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. This show is all about reclaiming health, enhancing fertility, and preparing for pregnancy. I'm Kristen Cornett, a holistic nutritionist and functional wellness practitioner at Tiny Feet.
And I'm Dr. Haley Nye, a naturopathic doctor and certified nutritionist at Synergy Women's Healthcare in Portland, Oregon. Now, our goal for this show is to educate and empower couples with the knowledge they need to get pregnant, stay pregnant, and have the healthiest baby possible.
Thank you all for joining us today, and welcome back to a brand new year and a brand new decade. We've taken the past few weeks of the 2019 holiday season off from the podcast, but we're excited to be back with you this week to kick off 2020. We're definitely hoping for this year to be full of brand new knowledge and growth for the podcast, and we could actually really use your help on that front. If you have been enjoying the information that we share here, or the show has helped you get pregnant, or if you even just feel more confident and in control on your fertility journey, we would really love to hear about your experience through a review on iTunes. Reviews really help get the podcast out to more couples and let them know that we've got some really special fertility magic happening here. It really makes our day to hear from our listeners, and we're incredibly grateful for all of the feedback and support that we have received over the past year. All right, you're listening to episode 60, where we're going to be talking about how to choose the right approach for you and your partner when it comes to preconception preparation or fertility treatment. Whether you're just starting to think about getting pregnant or you've been struggling for years with infertility, there's just a lot of information out there about how best to support your body to conceive and carry a healthy baby to term. Now, if you've been listening to us for a while, you probably know that we typically present a more natural and holistic approach to health and fertility, but there's definitely a whole host of more conventional options available, as well as lots of approaches that integrate both natural and holistic principles. So the point of today's episode is to talk through some of the most important factors that you and your partner should consider when you're thinking about what the next step on your journey should be. If you've been on the path of trying to conceive for a while without success, you might be noticing that everyone in your life who knows what you're dealing with seems to have an opinion about what you should do next. So we're also going to be talking about things like boundaries, priorities, and how to confidently decide on a course of action that supports your unique goals and needs. And by the way, if you are looking to explore some of your options for preconception care or what might be next on your fertility journey, you can absolutely jump on a free 20-minute consult with me through Tiny Feet. We can talk through a little bit of your history and your current goals and timeline and see whether working together might be a good fit for you. If you're interested in booking a free phone consult, you can find the link to schedule in the podcast episode description for this week. All right, so let's get started on today's episode. Dr. Haley, why don't you start us off with talking about kind of the general directions that couples can choose when they're considering preconception care or fertility treatment?
Yeah, I think what I've noticed with my patients is that usually when they're ready to start trying for a baby, they're thinking, hopefully, they're thinking a little bit about preparing their bodies ahead of time as far as like a preconception care type of plan. You want to see your doctor for that. And then a lot of times, you know, couples just start trying, and that's kind of the culture. That's how it's been. It hasn't been very long since we've had this idea of preparing the body ahead of time, especially with male partners. That's extremely new on the block, especially in the medical field. So usually you just start trying, and then after usually 6 months or a year, depending on your age, then if you haven't become pregnant yet, then you see your doctor for more of like a fertility consultation, what's going on, what kind of workup can you do? And so we're going to just go through that, and we'll kind of break that down for you a little bit. So there's two different types of approaches that you can take. So there's a functional, holistic approach. And we did have a whole discussion on this in a previous episode, episode 41. So if you want to get a deep dive into what that exactly means, then please just go ahead and listen to that episode, but we'll summarize a little bit of that here too. So I mentioned preconception care. So what does that mean? It basically just means optimizing your health, focusing on diet and lifestyle, and addressing any issues or chronic symptoms before trying to conceive. So ideally 3 to 4 months before you actually try. And even in the medical literature, it says a year or more. And some bodies, associations are actually saying you know, any time that you could potentially get pregnant, because 50% of pregnancies are unplanned, any time that you could potentially get pregnant in your reproductive years, you should be thinking about, you know, your health and your lifestyle. So there's a lot of push on the public health level of what does that look like? So, you know, one easy thing is making sure that all women of reproductive age is taking a prenatal type of vitamin or multivitamin. That's, again, relatively new. A lot of women, especially if they're not thinking at all about getting pregnant, are not taking any type of prenatal or multivitamin. So I find in my practice, I'm often telling my young females that are just coming in for like an annual exam, if asking if they're on any type of prenatal vitamin, and they're not, you know, that's the number one thing I'm doing for them. So that's kind of what preconception care looks like. And then, you know, as a part of that, you want to make sure that your baby has the best possible environment for it to grow in. And then also, like I mentioned, taking into account the male partner and his optimal health and fertility. So as far as fertility treatment goes on a functional holistic approach, is we look into a deeper dive lab-wise, and just taking a really good medical history to find out what the root cause is if you are struggling to conceive. If it's not happening for you right away, we want to find out why. So working with a practitioner can offer you proper testing and then make specific recommendations, often individualized recommendations, to address those underlying problems. So oftentimes they're in categories such as inflammation or immune dysfunction, nutrient deficiencies is pretty common, poor gut health, food sensitivities, and hormone imbalances. So any of those things could be throwing your hormones off, or that HPA axis off, and causing this hormonal imbalance to where it's not really producing the best optimal egg development, and causing this infertility in you when you're trying to conceive. And then the other thing, other approach, is conventional approach, of course, and this is what we're all pretty used to. So if you do go see your doctor, and you're just trying to conceive, then the first thing that they're going to do is, hopefully they'll do this, is that they're going to just address kind of the really common major lifestyle adjustments. And so that's going to be things like reducing alcohol and quitting smoking. Taking a prenatal, like I mentioned, checking for immunity to certain infections like the chickenpox, rubella, also screening for STIs like gonorrhea, chlamydia, and certain medical conditions that could affect the growth of the baby or the health outcome of the baby. Also achieving a healthy weight. There's a lot of research on being overweight or obese and how that affects the health of the baby or the pregnancy. And then also, like I mentioned, this is unfortunately only 53% of physicians know about the most current preconception care guidelines, which came out in 2019. So just last year in January, so it's been about a year. And there was a research study that showed that really only half of physicians know the preconception care guidelines. So I'd be really kind of blow my socks off if you came to me and be like, yeah, my physician did all that. Now, if you went to a gynecologist doctor, they're going to be more up on it because they're specific to women's health and they're really the first line defense when it does come to evaluating fertility and doing preconception care and all that.
But just really, as a side note, for the holistic approach that we talked about a second ago, we're certainly not suggesting that you don't do any of these conventional things,
right?
Or just like, because of course you should do all of these things. Those are all important. And those are things that we would typically refer a client to or patient to their primary care physician or their gynecologist to do some of these things. And then the mm-hmm. functional investigation is more that deeper dive. Like, what else do you have going on with your mm-hmm. health? Not just, you know, oh, here are the things to make sure that your baby doesn't end up, you know, having a serious problem. It's more like, how do we really optimize the conditions? And so that's kind of the difference between those two approaches to preconception care. It's not that the functional approach doesn't include the conventional guidelines. Mm-hmm. It just goes further.
Yeah, the conventional approach is going to be pretty basic. It's going to be based off of like a huge batch of research or something. So lots of research that has come together and has to really determine that these particular things that we just listed off are really important for babies' health and fertility as well. And a more functional approach is still going to have a good substantial amount of research, but it's not going to be as robust with the research there. So more cutting edge kind of
stuff. Well, and public health is really aimed at how do we come up with recommendations that we make for everyone?
Yes.
And that's important from a public health perspective. Like, what should every woman or couple do before pregnancy? But then there's lots of other things that are going to be more individualized. Like, what specifically are you experiencing in your health and how can we work on that to create a better environment? That's not going to be part of public health guidelines. That's more of a work with your doctor to figure out what's best for you kind of a thing.
Yeah, really good point. So as far as fertility treatment goes, if you do end up with your gynecologist or even a reproductive endocrinologist to assess more if you're struggling with conceiving, then what they're going to do is they're going to test specific areas. So one is anatomical issues, which means are your tubes blocked? Do you have endometriosis that's causing adhesions, that's making it hard for the egg or the ovary to ovulate? And so that's going to be through like a histosalpingogram or hysteroscopy. So maybe if there's polyps inside of the uterus, they're going to remove those and make sure that you have a nice clear uterine environment. Or laparoscopy, which is basically exploratory surgery, or, you know, if you have a fibroid and you need to have those removed. And then they're also going to evaluate ovulatory function. So that's going to kind of determine like your egg quantity. And so they'll do like FSH, estradiol, AMH, certain hormone testing to see if you're ovulating and what the, they can't really determine egg quality, but they could kind of determine egg quantity. And that's really based off of research and stats. And then a semen analysis for your male partner is really important to get. A lot of physicians forget to order this. And unfortunately, you know, there's a good percentage of couples that go 6 months, a year, trying, and they realize, oh, it's actually the male partner. They do a semen analysis and they find out they have very low sperm, or maybe something's wrong with their sperm. So it's important to just get that done right away. And then also evaluate for potential anemia. If there are any like major hormonal issues, they usually will test your thyroid because that can cause infertility if you're hypothyroid or if you have an autoimmune thyroid condition. And then any other chronic health conditions that might be present. And then treatments, you know, if you really want to know more specifically and a deep dive into conventional treatments and learn more about conventional, you know, being with a reproductive endocrinologist, I suggest going to listen to episode 31. So that's been a little while ago, but it's a really cool episode. We do a really in-depth analysis of conventional treatment and what that looks like, including costs. So that's pretty interesting. So the first thing that they're going to probably do for you is a medicated cycle. So that may include Clomid or letrozole. Also, they may combine that with intrauterine insemination or IUI. And then, of course, you may have heard of it. It's pretty quite popular now is IVF or in vitro fertilization. So IVF would be the kind of the end game if the other medications or IUIs don't work. So Kristen, why don't you tell us a little bit more about these two approaches and what that means?
Yeah, I think that the biggest misconception is that it has to be one or the other. And so there's kind of a third path to go down. And this is kind of what we advocate for a lot. It's not that us as functional practitioners or, you know, Haley as a naturopathic doctor, that we're advocating that you only seek out the type of care that we offer for preconception care or for, you know, addressing fertility issues, but that you get the best of everything, right? So it doesn't have to be 100% all or nothing on conventional or functional holistic approaches. A lot of times these can be combined really effectively. And we encourage fertility clients, especially, to have that conventional workup so that they can investigate issues that might require assisted reproductive technology. So, you know, we have people sometimes come to us and there's a high probability or likelihood based on what we're seeing for something like endometriosis. And we need to know whether or not that's causing something anatomical or whether or not it's causing, you know, scarring or occlusion in the fallopian tubes that's going to potentially prevent the ability to conceive naturally. And you should know that earlier on in your journey. So that's something that we highly encourage. And, you know, for even for those couples who know that they're going to want to or need to go through conventional treatment, you can often get to the root cause of some other things that are happening in your health to increase your odds of success during those treatments. So it really doesn't have to be one or the other. And so that third pathway is kind of more of an integrative approach. And I think what we want to do kind of for the rest of the episode is really talk about some of the considerations that you and your partner might want to talk through and think about when you're deciding which route, which of these three general directions that you want to go with fertility treatment, and whether or not you want to combine different aspects of some of the things that we just outlined to really create a comprehensive treatment plan that works best for you. Because ultimately, this is your guys' family that you're building. It's your life. It's your relationship. You know, doctors have opinions and expertise in the different areas that they work in, but ultimately these decisions are up to you. And so we just kind of wanted to give that overview of some of the things that you might want to think about when you're deciding what that's going to look like for you. So the first of those that we want to go over is age. And you know, age is an important consideration in fertility. I don't think that it's necessarily presented to women super accurately. I mean, it is true that age, like especially being over 35, that fertility does start to decline at that point for women. But it's not necessarily true that when you turn 35, your fertility immediately drops off a cliff and you're just like not going to be able to get pregnant unless you do it right this second. However, it is true that that needs to be on your radar. You know, if you're over 35, maybe you're currently trying for baby number one, maybe you want more than one child. And you might want to consider whether you can afford to spend that time taking a more holistic approach. If that's kind of where your feelings lie, like wanting to really do that deeper investigation and dive super into your health and look at all of these underlying causes. Like, do you have the time based on what you want for your family and your age? Is that something that looks right for you? So, you know, I think Dr. Haley has some personal things to share about where she's at in her fertility journey right now and trying to conceive baby number two being over 35. So what do you have to add to that?
Yeah, I would say I'm 30. So full disclosure, 36 and a half.
Sorry, I did kind of put you on the spot there.
No, it's fine. I'm loud and proud about my age. But yeah, I think, you know, you guys know, and if you're newly listening just to this episode, I had a right ovary torsion when I was 19 and it was removed. And so it was kind of a really scary time where I thought that my fertility was going to decline quite rapidly because I had, you know, just one ovary. I mean, it's, I think just logistically, you're like, yeah, I just lost half my eggs. So like, of course my fertility is not going to last as long, but actually medically, that's not totally true. Your other ovary just kind of picks up for the lost one. And technically I shouldn't have any reduced fertility per se. But I think emotionally that's hard to grasp. And so I feel like I'm a little bit more anxious to have my second child because I just feel like it's going to take longer. The other thing is, you know, I was able to get pregnant with my first extremely quickly. And so when I talk to people, they're like, well, you got pregnant really quickly with the first. I mean, why would you have any problem with the second? But you hear about secondary infertility all the time. And especially after having a first baby, your immune system and your body just really go through the ringer. And I've felt that personally myself. You guys have heard me talk a lot about having SIBO again and the things that I've been dealing with, joint pain and this and that. And so I feel a bit concerned that that's kind of affected my fertility. So I'm actively working on that. And then I don't know if Krista mentioned this, maybe she did, but of course you want, you're concerned about the age difference in your children. I mean, I want Aspen to have a sibling that's relatively close in age. I mean, it doesn't have to be super close, but that's my desire. Now I know that in reality, what will happen will happen. But if I can control, if I can start trying sooner than later, I would absolutely want to do that. And so there is this balance between, am I in my totally optimal health right now? No, I could probably keep chucking along and like checking off boxes and making sure I'm in optimal health. But then I also have to consider all these other family dynamics. You know, my husband is getting older. He's he's 48 right now, so he's gonna be 49 this year, and that's no small deal, you know, when it comes to him having another child. So lots to consider. And so that's one perspective as far as like, what is my timeline? And that's something to consider too. And I know that I have quite a few patients that are in their late 30s and early 40s that are trying to, you know, I have a few that actually have just found the partner and just want to start trying just super recently. And one is 42 years old. And I really had to lay it out for her and be like, look, you know, here's the odds that you're going to get pregnant naturally. It absolutely can happen. But I also want you to start, like, if you really, really, truly, truly want your own baby, like you need to start going the conventional route now and not wait. And that was a little surprising to them because they were like, but I'm, you know, when you're 42, I mean, that's not old. It's not old, but in reproductive age years, it's old, you know, and that's really sad and sucks that we have to say that, but it is, it's true. And I think we're doing our patients a disservice if we keep that information from them and we don't give them the reality check that is needed when you're on the other side of 35.
Yeah. Well, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you can't still do a little bit of underlying health work, but it's the question of exactly what you just said. Like, am I absolutely the healthiest I could possibly be? Maybe not. Like, are there going to be some things that maybe you would need to incorporate, you know, maybe thyroid medication instead of getting to exactly the root cause of everything that's going wrong with your thyroid and fixing that naturally, you might need thyroid medication. That's a conventional intervention. So is supplemental progesterone. That's a medication. That's a conventional approach. And you know, that's something that I've considered for myself too. Like, am I going to be able to get my like stress and hormone imbalances so under control that I don't need any help? Maybe not, you know? And I'm not quite at that point where I'm super worried about my age, but just given all of my inflammatory issues that I've had in the past, I do have this feeling that like my ovaries and eggs are a lot older than my physical age. Maybe that's not right. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And
we could test you, but we haven't quite got to that point yet.
Yeah. Well, we're not quite at that point of trying to conceive again, but I'm sure we'll be chatting about that later this year on the podcast, you know, but those are things to think about. So that was, you know, kind of a long discussion about age and it does matter for male partners. I don't think it matters quite as much. I think it's still easier for an older father to get their partner pregnant than it is for an older mother to conceive and carry successfully all the way to term, for instance, over the age of 40.
That's 100% True.
Yeah. But there are, some, you know, concerns about sperm quality. And we do have some research to show that, age and fathers does contribute to certain health issues in baby. There is some research about the increased risk of autism when fathers are, I think it's over 40, right? Yeah. So, I mean, that those are all things to think about. And once again, you know, this, the age consideration still doesn't mean that you have to go one way or the other without any overlap. This can still
it's even more a reason to do both. I mean, I would absolutely, because when you do use the conventional route, unfortunately, the older you are, the worse the outcomes. Like, you're spending so much money trying to get pregnant that I highly recommend, you know, using an integrative approach. Acupuncture has been shown to be really helpful when it comes to fertility. And then, of course, there's really individualized kind of nutrient deficiencies that are like, once those are repleted, that helps a lot with egg quality. There's a lot of things that reproductive endocrinologists, again, they do use specific supplementation, but they're very conservative, and using an integrative approach can be a little bit more like give you a good individualized, you know, push that, I think an RE just wouldn't do. They're just a bit more on the conservative side. So
I think that's an example of where we have to have all of these massive studies and huge bodies of research before we start kind of more routinely recommending an intervention to patients in conventional medicine. That tends to be the approach. And so, you know, maybe some smaller studies or even clinical experience doesn't rate very highly in their book in terms of recommending things to patients. And that's something where integrative medicine, I think, shines a little bit more in doing that underlying investigation and seeing, you know, what's right for this person in front of you, not do we have, you know, 14 huge trials to show that. Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't mean that an intervention isn't evidence-based. There's just a different standard that conventional medicine holds interventions to, especially when we're talking about something supplemental and not medication-based.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So yeah. I think we kind of covered this next thing a little bit when we were talking about age, but another thing is just your desired timeline. I mean, this isn't necessarily about how old you are, but it has to do with where you're at in your life, what your goals are, whether or not, like Dr. Haley said, you want your kids to be a little bit closer together in age as opposed to further apart. You know, in my case, I have an example of having some things that maybe I wanted to do in life that I didn't realize that I wanted. And I was like, well, maybe it doesn't make sense to have kids right now. You know, when I was working in corporate finance, that was when we first started trying to conceive and it wasn't working out for us. And, you know, I'm 26 or 27 at this point. And so I feel like I have a lot of time, but I also really wanted to get pregnant at that point. When I started learning that my health was going to be such a big issue, that's what really propelled me into nutrition and functional health. And then I realized that I had this big passion, and instead of wanting to work in corporate finance for the rest of my life, I wanted to make a career out of this. And so when we put trying to conceive on hold to figure out all the health stuff, I also ended up, you know, wanting to maybe put that off a little bit longer so that I could build a career and get to this point where I'm helping other people through some of the things that I was really struggling with. So my goals changed a little bit from the start of my fertility journey. So, you know, your desired timeline goes both ways. Like, maybe you want to do things a little bit sooner and pursue a conventional route a little bit sooner because you want to get pregnant faster. And on the other hand, you know, you might be kind of like me where your goals shift a little bit and you want to take the time to kind of figure out every little thing. So everybody is different, and that's an area of consideration
you want to, well, if you haven't had your first child yet, you know, it's also important to consider how many children you want. And, you know, cause again, as your first child gets older, you're also getting older. And some people don't consider that when they're waiting to have their first child. Is like, you know, I have patients that are 38 years old looking for their, you know, trying to conceive their first child, and they want to have like two or three. And it's like, that's going to be a good, awesome goal to meet, but is it going to be an uphill climb, you know? So just something to consider when you're thinking about your timeline too.
Well, we did an interview on the podcast somewhere in that same batch of episodes where we did the conventional fertility episode, but the interview was with Krista Barlow, and she talks about her experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the interviews that is like, oh yeah, we need to share more about this topic, and why we wanted to do this episode is, you know, she was so committed to the natural functional approach for so long that I think what, 6 or 8 years went by, and, you know, she got into her late 30s and they ended up doing IVF, which was great, but she could have done that conventional, at least of the evaluation piece of it, sooner to kind of figure out what was going on. And it turned out that she did not have open tubes and they needed to do IVF. And so, of course, when you get into your late 30s, you might want more than one child. You're doing your first IVF cycle. That's definitely something that's not a situation that you want to be in just because you didn't have the time or know that you needed to think about that ahead of time. And that's kind of why we're addressing this topic. Another thing with timeline to think about is that there is research to show that pregnancy interval, so how long in between two pregnancies, does make a difference. And, you know, the research shows that about 18 months is really optimal. 18 months or more is really optimal. And because pregnancy and birth are incredibly depleting to your body, mm-hmm. and you do need time, not just to recover physically, but also to rebuild nutrient stores and be in the right shape to give your next baby everything that they need. And so pregnancy spacing is an important consideration when you're looking at that timeline and how big you want your family to be, and maybe building in, I would say, bare minimum a year. But if you have that 18 months, that's really optimal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I forgot about that. So if you do get pregnant earlier than, I believe, 6 months, which is pretty early, but it happens all the time because women think that they're, you know, breastfeeding and they're not having a period, so they can't get pregnant, and then they get pregnant. But it really skyrockets the risk for premature birth and also for miscarriage. So, definitely, you know, 6 months, absolutely, you know, shoot for a year, and ideal is 18 months between children. So yeah, that's definitely another thing to think about.
Yeah, for sure. So shifting gears a little bit from talking about timing, because we just went over age and all of these different things that have to do with timeline, but shifting to talking a little bit about health at this point. And one of the main things that comes up, especially if you're struggling to conceive, is thinking about, like, what is your diagnosis, or do you even have a diagnosis? So there are some diagnoses that are going to make it difficult to get pregnant naturally, such as blocked tubes or some kind of an anatomical issue that might not be able to be fixed, something that might be congenital. You know, there's those considerations, but then also, do you have a complex health condition, something like polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, or endometriosis, something that doesn't just affect your fertility, but also affects your overall health? And, you know, how much kind of investigation and underlying work are you willing or able to do into the ins and outs of that diagnosis? So for instance, like, having endometriosis doesn't necessarily mean that you're infertile. There are women with endo that get pregnant all the time, but that condition is inflammatory. And not only does it cause pain, but it also causes other changes, like such as in the uterine environment, or with the immune system, that can make the chances of successful pregnancy less likely, that don't have anything to do with adhesions or scar tissue or anatomy. And there's so much that can be done from a functional perspective to investigate a condition like endometriosis to address some of those underlying factors that really drive the disease, and not only causing the symptoms, but also the spread of the lesions that are happening throughout your abdominal and or pelvic cavities and even other places. You know, we know endo can spread far and wide. But that's just one example of a condition where, yeah, you might have something that requires a little bit of conventional intervention, but you also have this opportunity to look more deeply into the factors that drive those conditions and address those. PCOS is another great example. And we just had an episode on that recently on the podcast with Dr. Kevin Oberoi. And she gave us some great ideas about how to kind of investigate and address PCOS from that functional perspective, mm-hmm. without discounting the fact that there are also conventional treatments available.
Well, what's interesting about PCOS and endometriosis is that usually, if you're not trying to conceive, one of the mainstream treatments is birth control. So when you're off of birth control and you're trying to conceive, conventional medicine doesn't really have a great way to treat those conditions. Basically, what they're going to be doing is shuffling you through conventional fertility treatments the best that they know how and what the research shows, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be helping you a whole lot with diet and lifestyle and supplementation that is specifically meant for that particular condition. To be able to reduce the inflammation and to reduce the risk of miscarriage and greatly increase your odds of becoming pregnant with their conventional treatments. And so it is, especially if you have those conditions, I think going to be really valuable to you, not only in the short term of becoming pregnant, but also in the long-term health, because those conditions, especially PCOS, has been shown to have long-term consequences to them cardiovascular wise. It, you know, can lead to type 2 diabetes. There's a lot of things that you can kind of nip in the bud now. If you're going to be preparing your body for pregnancy, you really can be preparing your body for long-term health.
Yeah, for sure. You know, another thing that I would add to the what is your diagnosis piece is, do you even have one? I would say that there are two issues that I see the most in the Tiny Feet practice. That is unexplained infertility and unexplained recurrent pregnancy loss. And the reason that I think I see those conditions more than anything else is because it's like the black hole of no answers. And conventional fertility evaluation can do a lot. Conventional fertility treatment can do a lot. But it's when you get that label of unexplained infertility, it's kind of this this idea that we've done everything we know how to do in conventional medicine and we still can't tell you why you can't get pregnant. And I think that's really where holistic and functional approaches are able to shine, because they're not necessarily looking for this major serious pathology. It could just be a series of even small imbalances that combined are causing a lot of issues. Like maybe you have a pretty significant B12 deficiency, or, you know, just a slight imbalance in your thyroid that maybe wouldn't even warrant medication in a conventional environment, but that still might be increasing the risk for miscarriage or contributing to infertility or just throwing off your cycle so that, you know, you're not ovulating when you think you are, for instance. So there, that unexplained category, I think, really benefits from more of that functional and holistic approach, because we're just not looking for the same things that conventional medicine is looking for. We're not necessarily trying to diagnose you with a medical condition. We're trying to identify imbalances that taken together might be contributing significantly to what you're going through. And then Your case isn't really necessarily unexplained. I've said this before, I just don't really believe that unexplained infertility is a thing. Like, there is always a reason. If it's not working, we might not know what it is yet. But I think conventional medicine, it's partly that maybe they give up a little bit too early on the investigation piece, but also just that the tools are not the same. The tools that they're using and the tools that we're using just aren't quite the same. And that's why I think it's helpful to combine forces and get the best of both worlds, if that's something that's feasible for you. So yeah, for chronic conditions and unexplained, I definitely think that that's a strong argument for either going the holistic and functional route or doing an integrative approach that takes both into account.
Yeah, definitely. We also want to talk about just, I kind of mentioned this earlier with some of the chronic conditions, but just your overall health. So are you, again, like Kristen was saying, are you experiencing a lot of unexplained chronic health symptoms? Kristen knows this very well. I kind of do too, but basically, like, you have rashes that come up randomly, or you have abdominal pain that just happens like out of the blue, or you have headaches that are happening, or you sleep like crap. I mean, those are all things that you literally can be shuffled to like five different specialties in conventional medicine, but in a functional type of medicine arena, we're going to look at all of those together and be like, okay, you know, what's going on? There has to be some type of underlying cause, this imbalance that is causing a lot of these symptoms that you're experiencing. So, And then, of course, we talked about timing. If this is happening, how much time do you have to look into this? Sometimes, especially if you've heard Kristen's story again, is like, it can take a lot of time to uncover what is really happening. And sometimes when you peel off one layer of the onion, you have like six more under it. And so it takes a little bit of time to retrain the body and how it functions. When it's been, you know, she mentioned earlier too, and I say this to my patients, is how long did it take for your body to get this way? You know, we got to take that time to rewind all of that training that your body has had. Your body works for you. It wants to work in a homeostasis. It is your friend. It's not fighting against you. And we've tried to say that many times in previous episodes, but the way that it's being your friend and the way that it's in this like seeking homeostasis, basically that means balance, is by compensating in certain systems that where other systems aren't working. And so it's overcompensating, like especially the immune system can overcompensate. And then when it overcompensates, then you start getting symptoms like rashes and headaches and this and that. So it's about retraining your system and getting it back. And anyway, that can take time. So when you're on a fertility journey and you really need to consider that as part of, you know, am I willing to wait 6 months or a year or even longer, maybe to take the time and really retrain my body before I have a family. And I will tell you, I will tell you that if you don't, you really run the risk of being worse after you have the baby than before. So
yeah.
It's really quite, you know, you don't really think about that because all you want is the baby. Like, I get that. I was that person. Like, I just want the baby, you know, I just want that baby. Mm-hmm. But postpartum is effing hard, you guys. It's so hard because not only are you trying to take care of yourself, but now you're taking care of this newborn who knows what they're going to be like. You know, you don't know if they're going to have colic or if they're going to have their own digestive issues or things that you need to try to manage as well.
And things that make it harder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just saw a patient, I guess I'm probably on the soapbox because I just saw a patient yesterday that she had a pretty rough pregnancy. So there's not only that, but it's like the pregnancy itself is going to be rough and that's 9 months. And then her baby had colic and for like 4 months. And then she went into a deep kind of like depression, anxiety. And a lot of that stems from inflammation and trigger of autoimmunity. So when your body goes through such a significant change, if you already have chronic issues, it really flares them after you have your baby. And that's just setting yourself up for hurt. You know, it's going to be hard. Yeah. So if you have the time, I would try to invest in your health to try to avoid that as much as you can.
Well, and you know, I'll give my 2 cents on this one because this category 100% applies to me. You know, as somebody who had a lot of chronic symptoms just throughout my entire life, and then I didn't really know how big of a deal all of that stuff was until I started trying to conceive, and I had this sense of like, well, it has to be connected somehow, right? Like, I'm not just this like hacked up series of parts that don't have anything to do with one another, but I didn't really know what the connection was. And because I was so young when I started trying, I've had time to spend several years like really digging and figuring things out. And in my case, it's been kind of complex, but I'm just going to be 100% upfront and just say, like, if I get a couple more years down the road, like, we're going to start trying to conceive here later this year. And if things don't work out and I get a couple of years down the road and I'm headed toward that 35 kind of fertility starts to decline a little bit, maybe even a little bit earlier because of my history and inflammatory issues, I'm not going to be scared to take some conventional steps to try to support myself. Like, if I need supplemental progesterone or thyroid medication, you know, things like that. I want to be able to still have my own family, and I am not too proud to go the conventional route and take what that modality has to offer me, because they have a lot. So, you know, I've spent all this time investigating underlying issues. There are things like, you know, genetic predispositions at play that I'm never going to have 100% control over. And just given like modern environment and lifestyles, we're not ever going to be able to make everything perfect, especially for those of us that have been chronically ill our entire lives, like I have. And so, you know, it's okay. It's okay to say, okay, I've tried this route. Now I need to either add something or try something different. And that's totally fine. So, I mean, if you have time, spend the time, because like Dr. Haley said, you will be thankful for that when you're pregnant and when your baby is young and that period is, you know, sleep deprivation and it's very hard and you're trying to learn how to be a new parent to this young human that you've created. So if you have the time to figure things out functionally and holistically, do it, but also don't be afraid to include conventional medicine where it's necessary and Absolutely. Where it can help you. Yeah. So I yeah. feel like that's an evolution of my thought process. I don't feel like I started there, but I feel like, you know,
I don't think you did either,
but I've come to realize, you know, just through all of this work that it is important to be flexible and yeah. understand when it's time to look at something new.
Mm-hmm. I do find that when I talk to my patients, they are a little surprised when I mention that maybe we should try some medication or maybe you should get a consultation with a reproductive endocrinologist. They get a little surprised. And I'm like, you know, I'm not too proud and I'm not one to sit here and say, I guarantee you I'm going to get you pregnant naturally. Like I will not do that to anybody because, you know, it's your family at stake. Like your fertility is on the line and it's not up to me to withhold any information that might be helpful to you. So, I will do everything I know that you guys have heard in these podcasts and, what I know with my education to help you. But I think when it comes to your fertility and building a family, you need to have all of your options available to you.
100%. Totally agree.
Yeah.
So we just have a few more that we want to talk through. And the next one is just whether or not you're already using fertility treatments. Like you might be coming into this podcast like, hey, I'm already doing IUI or I've already done a couple, or maybe you've even been through an IVF cycle or you're considering it really strongly. And we certainly don't want to be in a position where we're deterring anybody from using fertility treatment that they want or need to use. So if you've already committed to conventional treatment, you probably will want to continue at least for where you're at right now, but that doesn't mean that you can't still get help from a holistic practitioner that might be able to offer you some additional support on the journey. You know, one thing is, and we're going to talk about this. Well, we'll just talk about it now. I had it on my list to talk about later, but you know, one thing to consider is how much support do you need? What changes do you need to make? You know, if you've been listening to this show for a while, you might have a list of things that you want to implement for yourself that are, you know, dietary related, lifestyle related, toxic exposure related, and that's a long list of things. Is that something that you're going to be able to get support from your conventional reproductive endocrinologist? You know, probably not. And one I think benefit to holistic and functional practices is that they build in a lot more time to spend in appointments with clients and patients, but also in between. You know, like in my case, I find it really important to make myself available to people in between appointments because there are questions that come up. And, you know, sometimes we don't have a follow-up scheduled right away. Some things a month or even 2 months down the road, and they really need to get a question answered. You know, do they need to hang on to that? Would I rather have them go to Google and see what best answer they can come up with? Or would I rather have them come to me and ask me so that I can provide support? And so that's an in-between appointments, you know, messaging thing that I do that I find is really helpful and supportive to clients. And so that's something to consider, you know, how much support do you need? How many changes do you need to make? How long is that going to take you? And who, I guess, is the best person to walk you through some of those things, even if you're already, you know, seeking out conventional care, you can continue that and just add that additional support piece if you're able to.
For sure.
Yeah.
I apologize in advance. I have a leaf blower in the background. I don't know if it's a little loud.
Well, you know, but sometimes you can only do what you can do with audio. We try really hard. It's been an evolution on the podcast, but hey, you know, sometimes stuff like that happens.
It's like right outside my window. I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, it's so loud.
She can just, I guess, mute that. Well,
yeah, I think I'm going to mute myself. Kristen, you keep talking for a minute.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of other things that I wanted to say about conventional treatments. So especially when it comes to failed cycles, because that's another thing that I see from clients is that they'll come after they've experienced just the complete heartbreak and demoralizing feeling of going through a treatment cycle and having it not work. And, you know, at that point, it's completely understandable to maybe be looking to change things up a little bit. You know, oftentimes reproductive endocrinologists will recommend a different medication regimen on the next cycle. They'll change things up a little bit, but you also might be wanting to investigate, especially if there's no possible explanation for why that treatment cycle didn't work. It's totally understandable to maybe want to investigate a little bit further just with different tools. Because we talk about how functional medicine and conventional medicine both have a set of tools, and they're both valuable in different ways, and they provide different information and investigation and answers to clients and patients that are going through this process. So I would definitely say that it's worth a look at an integrative approach or a holistic functional approach if you've already been through a failed cycle and there's no explanation for why it didn't work. Often what we'll hear is, oh, it's poor egg quality. You know, we have better ability to test for sperm quality than we do for egg quality. So if we can't identify sperm as the problem and there's no other explanation, it's often just, okay, well, you know, it's egg quality, unfortunately. And that kind of tends to be a little bit of a black box, like, oh, okay, well, how do we fix that? And there are some recommendations that conventional reproductive endocrinologists will make based on these really large studies that we were talking about earlier. But it does tend to be pretty conservative, and there's more, in my humble opinion, that can be done to address that.
Yeah, totally agree.
Is the leaf blower gone? You good?
Yes, it's okay, gone. Good. I just moved, you guys, to a new home, and it's absolutely beautiful, and I love it. And apparently a leaf blower comes every Tuesdays, and or every Tuesday, and I didn't anticipate that, so.
Oh, well, we'll have to keep that on our radar for home office recording time.
So the last thing that we want to talk about, I know that we've talked your ears off, but hopefully this is something that is interesting to you and helps you just know what questions to ask and to, what conversations to have with your partner. But the last thing we want to talk about is what you shouldn't be considering when you're deciding on your specific fertility journey and treatment option and approach. So we don't care about what anybody else thinks or feels about your choices. So obviously there's a lot that goes into deciding how you're going to take on a challenge like infertility, and it isn't anybody else's business what you decide. That means, you know, conventional treatments, a lot of people can be a little bit judgmental, or they think that people are going to be judgmental. I don't necessarily think that's the case. Maybe in certain like religious and cultures now that is the case, but I think overall, generally, it's becoming more well accepted. So that might be like your own preconceived notion that people are going to be judging, and I just hope that you don't let that get in the way of what you need to do for your fertility. And then also people can be, or preconceived notion, I guess, about using like functional holistic approach. And, you know, parents can be like, you're wasting your money and blah, blah, blah. And so, especially when they're more conventional, maybe they don't understand what it all means when you're doing a stool test or something like that. So it is important to just know that, trust your instincts, trust, your own knowledge base, and really it's not up to them. It's up to you.
Yeah.
So that's really important to know. And then, you know, keeping in mind that not to get angry at them too, if they're being a little judgmental, because it is, their opinions are just based off of their own beliefs, their experiences, their, any misconceptions that maybe they've heard along the way. And so it's just really based off of their own perceptions. And, that's okay. It's okay for them to have an opinion, but it doesn't mean that you have to base anything that you end up doing off of what they say.
It's usually not about you. Like if somebody has a really knee-jerk, like strong reaction, especially if it's something that you're just like, what the heck? Like, where did that come from? You know, people have that experience when they share what their plans are and they get this really knee-jerk kind of upset reaction from somebody. That is not about you. That is about them. That's about a previous experience they had, or some, you know, misconception that they're dealing with or something else that really isn't about you. And it can be really emotional. You know, you're already in a fragile state if you're struggling to conceive or if you've already been going through fertility treatments. And it can be really hard to understand that it's not personal, that people aren't trying to attack you or be insensitive. I think a lot of it is just that they don't understand if they haven't been through it themselves. And if they had, then of course their experience is going to be completely different from yours. And it can be hard to give people in your life that grace when you really don't feel like it. But I think it ultimately leads to being happier and more secure in your decisions when you're able to recognize that other people's feelings are about them, not about you. So, you know, yeah. You might have heard things like, you know, well, you shouldn't do IVF, or, oh, you absolutely should do IVF. Like, that's not accessible or desirable for every couple. You know, things mm-hmm. like, you know, that's, like Dr. Haley said, a waste of money to go through functional or integrative treatment, or, oh, that's just a bunch of like quackery or woo-woo or something. If somebody tells you that you should just give up altogether and just adopt a kid, I mean, these are a lot of things that people might have in their own thought processes that make sense for them, or they think they know what they would do in this situation, but they don't really. None of that noise should be taken into account when you guys are deciding what's best for you, because it's your life, it's your body, it's your family, it's your timeline. Man. It all belongs to you. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And at the end of the day, you guys need to make the decision that works best for your lives and for your partnership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just thinking, you know, mothers can be the worst. I'm just thinking of my own mom. I was like, okay, I love her, but she, you know, she really wants me to have a second kid. And just, I don't know, a month ago I was like, well, you know, I'm just trying to come to grips with like, well, maybe I might not, you know? And I think this was because, Aspen has been really sick, and it's just a really trying time, and it's just like a lot of work. And I was like, oh, maybe one is enough. Mm-hmm. and she really was like, oh, honey, you definitely want two. You should really get on that right away. And I'm just like, oh, yeah,
that's not about you. That's about what she wants, right?
Like she wants. Yes.
She but then it like it, up with two kids yeah, but it like might make you feel this mom guilt. Like, you know, if she says something like, well, Aspen needs a sibling, it's like, well, does Aspen need a sibling? Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, you want another grandkid. Like, this isn't really about Aspen having a sibling. This is about,
yeah, good point.
A baby. So yeah. I think this is a good time in your life to draw boundaries with the people that you know in your life, and just really focus entirely on your own needs and priorities. Some people might think of that as selfish. Who cares? You know, even if it is, this is mm-hmm. a time in your life to be selfish. These are big decisions. This is hard mm-hmm. stuff. It's emotionally challenging and trying, and you have every right to just kind of shut the world out if you want to, if you don't feel like some of those conversations or people or relationships are nourishing to you in this time. It's okay to put that on pause and come mm-hmm. back to it when you feel like you're in a better place to handle some of the things that might come your way. Cause not everybody is going to get it. That's yeah. entirely true. One last thing I just wanted to mention, just so you guys know that this is on our radar that we didn't mention in the consideration section, was cost. And we touched on it a little bit in some of the other points, but you know, financially, conventional fertility treatment is not within reach for everybody. And, you know, even functional and holistic approaches can be expensive too. Most of that's mm-hmm. going to be out of pocket. IVF is going to be out of pocket for most people. You know, not being able to get pregnant is all around expensive. And we mm-hmm. get that, but it is usually more expensive to go a conventional route with IVF if you don't have insurance coverage for it. And if there's something that you can do that might cost a little bit of extra money, but helps that process be more successful and helps you not have to go through it more than one time, you know, to include an integrative approach throughout your treatment, if that's available to you and accessible to you, I highly recommend it for sure. You know, this is, I wish that this was not such a financially hard time on top of being such a physically and emotionally hard time. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, just fertility is just one of those things that I guess is not considered essential in insurance coverage in the United States. And I know that in some other countries, I think there's like in the UK, there's like the NHS or something where you get I don't know. It's a complicated process. We obviously don't live there, so I don't know, but there is some coverage and some support and people that believe that this is an essential part of life and health. Mm-hmm. But right now that's still not the prevailing idea when it comes to fertility. This is sort of seen as like elective or not medically necessary.
Yeah, an added benefit to life, not necessary.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's true that you can continue to live without children. But you know, quality of life issues and mental and emotional health contribute significantly to physical health and what these, you know, insurance companies or governmental agencies will ultimately have to pay out for your care over the course of your life if fertility ends up being part of your story. So anyway, I just didn't want to gloss over cost and let you know that we totally understand that is something that should be talked about.
The whole fertility. Big consideration.
For sure. Anything else you wanted to add, Dr. Haley, or have we thrown enough at them this week?
I think we've thrown enough at them. I hope that was helpful. Again, the episodes, if you want to go and take a deeper dive into what these approaches look like, and if you do want to have more specifics on stats of success for conventional treatments and cost of success, or cost of the treatments, it's episode 31 and episode 41.
41 yes. Is the holistic functional approach, and it's really kind of about how we approach practice. Episode 41. It's easiest for us to talk about what we do as kind of a proxy for this whole holistic and functional approach. And then episode 31 is really a deep dive into the conventional treatment methods, and we do talk about some of the considerations that we talked about just briefly in that episode. So hopefully you guys find that helpful. And I just want to say to close things out that the point of this episode isn't to tell you what you should do. You know, this is really just to bring up points of discussion, things that you might not have thought of, just to help conceptualize and prioritize this time a little bit better, because it is a tough time. So this is definitely not a, you must come see us for a functional approach, or, you know, you must go conventional if age or whatever else is a factor. This is to kind of help you see things from a different perspective and just understand more about what's available to you and how you might be able, how you might be able to combine some of these different approaches depending on what specific things are on your list to be thinking about. So I think that'll wrap things up for this week, and we will look forward to seeing you guys back here next week.